If I say the following name, just tell me the first thing that pops into your head. Jeremy Guthrie.
Jeremy Guthrie, underachiever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there'd be some that would agree with you.
Baltimore. I caught him in Baltimore. The guy has ridiculous ability, but he's never really been able to do as much with it as he should. I liken him to a guy like Miguel Batista. The only difference between the two is Jeremy Guthrie is Stanford educated. He knows he's smart.
I don't lie with Greg Zahn. So let me ask you a question then, because there are others that the Jays have taken on who have that kind of stuff. Would you be adverse to the Jays bringing in a guy like that and hoping that they get more out of them than the rest have gotten from him?
Yes. The only way that I would bring a guy like him in would be as if he was the fifth starter on a championship caliber ball club. I'm not going to count on him to be unbelievable. I'm not going to count on him to be my one or two. Because he's another guy like Ted Lilly. You know, one game he's brilliant, and then the next day he breaks your heart. You wonder if it's the same guy. And I love Jeremy Guthrie. He's a great human being, but the dude is just, I think he's too for his own good.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, his perception of what should be thrown and when and where is a little skewed, in my opinion.
Greg, I've gotten that all the time. Sixero's too smart for his own good. He's too cerebral with it. It's a curse, not a blessing.
It is a curse. you remember the movie Bull Durham? Don't think it can only hurt the ball club.
Yeah.
Very good.
Never been more true.
Nuke LaLoosh, L.A. Loosh. Have you ever seen anything like the last week for the Jays and their starting rotation?
Not for the pitching. I was part of a team, I think, in 2006 or 7 where Lyle Overbay went down. I went down, had a broken thumb. I think Reed Johnson went down. Like, three of the starters in the lineup went down in 1 week. It was crazy. I've seen injuries hit a club before, but never to the starting rotation. It's wild. But I have my theories on pitching and why people break down so much these days, because they don't throw enough in the minor leagues. They baby them. These kids aren't ready to pitch 175 emotion filled, stressful innings when they get to the show. They're all a bunch of coddled little commodities that they're worried about blowing them up in the minor leagues because they've got too much money invested in them. Well, I'm here to tell you, guys that throw 95 miles an hour these days, they grow on trees. It's not like you're going to miss out on anything special.
Greg Zahn of Blue Jay Central here in Timmonsed Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Greg, specifically in terms of the minor league point you just made, is that maybe what took place here with Drew Hutchinson?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not going to say that he's not. I mean, I ate my words when I said I didn't think he was ready stuff-wise for the big leagues. I mean, he proved me wrong. He made some major adjustments in a four-start span, and, I was really, really happy that he did make me take my words back. But as far as the stamina, I mean, go back and look at how many innings the kid's pitched in the minor leagues. How long has he been out of high school? He hasn't fully developed his arm strength yet. He's not fully developed into a grown man yet. And that's one of the reasons why I'm an opponent of rushing kids to the show until they get a certain amount of innings under their belt, until they can prove to you certain things. I mean, guys like Dwight Gooden, they don't come along very often when they're ready to pitch in the big leagues at 19 and there's nothing left for them to prove because they're just absolutely dominating people at the minor league level. Those guys don't come along very often. Look at Strasburg. I mean, the guy was the best pitcher in the draft. And I'm telling you, the innings that they're pitching in the major leagues, they are stress-filled. They are more stressful than the ones they throw in the bullpen, in the minor league games, and they need a certain amount of seasoning. My biggest contention with major leagues nowadays is they bring these kids to the major leagues. They're in the starting rotation opening day. They allot them 150 innings. And then they say, oh, we'll give them 10% more innings pitched the next year and the next year and the next year. And so you're sitting there going, well, when am I going to get a major league pitcher that can throw 200 innings? Do I have to wait till he's eligible for free agency? I shouldn't have to wait that long. When I've paid him that much money, I ought to be able to get 175 out of him easy if he's good enough. as soon as he gets to the show. He should be conditioned enough to throw that many innings right now.
It's almost like it's worth too much to everyone involved to leave talent like that where it's supposed to be at that time in their career. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, it is. But it's the draft that does it all. Because, you know, and I think they're making steps to remedy that. But when guys, you know, get drafted and they get a $6 million signing bonus and they're more talented than everybody else that's on the field, what else is there left to prove? I mean, Can you imagine a world where they would have had to have left Matt Wieters in AAA for a full year and he would have got to face guys like Steve Strasburg? That's the way it used to be. That's the way guys used to have to earn their way to the show. And I love when guys are saying, well, he's hitting 300 in the minor leagues right now, and they use Travis d'Arnaud all the time. I'm like, J.P. Arencibia dominated the Pacific Coast League, and he's a lifetime 220 hitter in the bigs. Why would you even look at stats like that and use them to warrant a call up to the big leagues? Make them play a full season at every level, get their innings, get their at bats up so that when they come to the big leagues, they're mature players. They can get a bunt down. They can throw strikes with their fastball. They don't have to come to the big leagues with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and trick people with sliders and splits. They're throwing 65%. You know, and then in case of Drew Hutchinson, he was throwing 65% fastballs, but his arm wasn't mature enough to handle the stress of pitching that many innings in the big leagues yet. He's too young.
Greg's on a Blue Jay.
Strong enough.
Yeah, it's a great point. Greg's on a Blue Jay Central here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So Greg, I mean, short term, you can't do anything with the guys who are gone. You got to worry about replacing them. Cecil's up yesterday. Jesse Chavez, Carlos Villanueva, Aaron Laffey, some other names of dudes who and Jeremy Guthrie rumor is out there. Who do you think in the Jays organization right now, in terms of guys who have either already been called up or may get the call this week in Milwaukee, who's on their last legs with the organization?
On the last legs with the organization?
Who has the most at stake with this look?
I think it's Cecil, because he's going to be here the rest of the season, I believe. And you know what? I think it's great. I think it's time for, you know, the organization to bleep or get off the pot with these kids. They've had too many opportunities. They've been bounced around back and forth. And to me, it's just one of those situations where they don't want to look bad and say, well, we made a mistake drafting this kid number one. We give this kid too much credit for being too good too soon. Just find out. It's not that big a deal. People are wrong about players all the time. They're wrong more often than they're right. And so Brett Cecil should get a good long look. Let's find out whether or not the kid is big league starting worthy material. Travis Snyder should have got a good long look at some point if he could stay healthy. And I look at the situation right now, beyond maybe a Joel Carreño who could come up and give him some innings, they should go out and get a guy like Levon Hernandez or make a trade for a guy like Ryan Dempster. My biggest problem with what they're trying to do is you hear them talk about how, well, we've got this core of good young players, and when we feel like we're ready to make the move, we're going to go out and get some free agents to come in and complement these guys. Well, here's a thought. What if they're not available when you think the other guys are ready to be complemented? Why not pick up a piece here, a piece there? That's why I said go out and get Prince Fielder. That's why I'm saying go out and get a Ryan Dempster or maybe even a Matt Garza right now. Because I still think this club has a chance to make the playoffs. I really do. And so when I look at the situation where they're going to wait and wait and wait until the absolute perfect moment, okay, Brett Laurie and Rasmus and all these young guys, they're ready to make a move. They're really ready to make a push. Ricky Romero's awesome. Hutchison's awesome. Drabeck's awesome. We're ready. We're missing a couple of free agent guys. What if they're not ready? What if those guys aren't even available? Then what? Why not have them in the system already so when that time comes, you're ready to just pounce on everybody and walk away with the AL East?
Greg Zahn and Tim and Sid, and we kind of saw with a chip and a chance what you can do with the Los Angeles Kings, the 8th seed in the Stanley Cup final, winning the Stanley Cup. The counter, I believe, at least if I try and play devil's advocate here, is that they're attempting to protect a perceived asset and someone that they could move for those kind of pieces with the young guys. Do you see that side of the ledger at all, Zani?
Yeah, but what are they really protecting? Snyder's been exposed to the big leagues too much. And from what I understand, a guy like Travis d'Arnaud is J.P. Arencibia 3 years ago. all bat and all arm. Can't catch it at the big league level and can't block it at the big league level.
Didn't he win the Defensive Player of the Year in the PCL, though?
Who knows? Travis Darno or J.P. Arencibia?
Darno.
Well, this is his first year in the PCL.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, no. But don't even read into that because, you know, publications like Baseball America, those are all fueled by general managers and scouting directors. They're telling them what to write about the players. They don't send people from Baseball America out to these minor league towns that have any kind of experience or credibility whatsoever when it comes to evaluating talent and sit in the stands for a week and a half and watch a kid play. They're listening to what the GMs and the scouting directors are saying. So what do you think they're going to say? They're going to tell you that their players are awesome and that they're great defensively and they have massive power because they want to pump the prospects in case they have to trade them at some point. The worst thing that can happen to a prospect is for him to come to the big leagues too soon, get overexposed, fall flat on his face, and now everybody in baseball knows that the kid's not the real deal.
Well, there goes the $8 I just spent on my Baseball America. I'm gonna chuck that magazine.
It's a garbage publication in my opinion. There's some quality writing in there, but when it comes to the evaluation of players and how they rank them and all that kind of stuff, that's all fueled by the organizations. They tell them what to write. They tell them who their top five prospects are.
Just to clarify, Baseball America named him best defensive catcher in the Eastern League in 2011.
Yeah. Well, what does that tell you?
According to you, nothing.
That says nothing to me. But what is the best defensive catcher in the Eastern League? If the people that I'm listening to are right, then that tells me there wasn't a whole lot of good catching in the Eastern League.
All right.
Because you know what? There just isn't. There aren't that many really legitimate catchers out there at the minor league level. And you know what? When a catcher has at least one giant glaring skill, baseball as an industry, they jump on them and they talk them up so big because there just aren't that many guys. I tell you right now, when you hear baseball people talk about how great a shortstop is, you can pretty much believe that because there are plenty of good shortstops. They don't have to pump these kids.
Right.
They don't have to, great shortstops from Latin America, they're a dime a dozen.
So
when is there a shortage of great Latin American shortstops?
So put Zani down as a fan of both Baseball America and Miguel Batista's book, Feelings in Black and White.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's some good writing in that magazine, but I don't believe a word they say when it comes to evaluating players.